It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 728. Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow. And also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. You can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. An additional special, if you mention that you heard it at the Mike Tech Show, when you're getting ready to set up your purchase, your first 3 months will be half price. Also want to thank Magnus Box for being a sponsor of the show. This is your one-stop shop online backup for Mac, Windows, workstations or servers, Linux boxes. If you want a secure, easy to maintain, easy to monitor, reliable backup that's HIPAA compliant, Magnus Box is your answer. And he is also, Magnus Box is offering, you mentioned you heard it at the Mike Tech Show, you'll also get a great demo, but your first 3 months will be half price, and we appreciate that. So giving back a little bit to all the listeners, the sponsors are coming through and helping out. Check them out. Instant House Call, Magnus Box. Tonight's show, lots of things. If you're watching the video, you see I got gloves on. That's going to be the first part of the show. So we're going to talk about the how to safely remove gloves, and this is thanks to Kate. We were doing a little bit, but we probably can do a better job in disposing of them. We're going to talk about Outlook 365, an email problem, a website that I ran into last night because of working with a vendor on sharing a password that very interesting what they do. I'm going to talk about that. And then how to install Windows 10 on a Mac with Boot Camp. That's another link. And we got a lot of great emails. But the first one, this is an email sent last week in response to my using the gloves and talking about the gloves. And Kate was worried. I'm glad to hear that you and your family are using gloves. And I'm glad you're encouraging all your listeners to do them too. Gloves should be used and disposed of properly. I know you know this, but I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind posting links to some instructions for how to properly use, remove, and dispose of gloves. So, what I'm going to do tonight, and I have a pair of gloves on, there are two videos. One of them, you have to be careful. They're removing bloody gloves where there's gloves with blood, and that really gets the point across. But there is an easy trick to remember. And that is, the first hand is glove on glove. The second hand is skin on skin. So this isn't a medical show, but we're in the trenches. We're out there visiting clients. You don't want to get infected. And you want to make sure you have gloves. And you want to make sure that when you come out of a place, what if there is an infection there? You don't want to get it by improperly removing the gloves. So if you're just listening to this, click on the video link. If you're watching the video, which I haven't started recording and I'm going to do now, I'm now joining the recording 5 minutes late, but you're going to get to see the crucial information here. You just missed the introduction. I forgot to start the recording, and we're discussing how to properly remove the gloves and dispose of them. So glove to glove means you take glove hand to a glove hand, you pinch it, you move it, and you put it in a ball, and you keep it in your hand. The next glove is skin to skin. So you put your hand, your fingers underneath the glove as to not touch the outside. And now you're only dealing with the outside, and you can throw it away because now this is the inside part of the glove. It's inside out. Now what we do, we don't have a hazmat area to dispose of these, but we are bringing Glad Ziploc bags and putting them in there. Now, the video doesn't get into that, but before we throw them away, we put them in the Glad bag and then we throw it away. Are there better ways? Well, sometimes you just don't have that option at a gas station if you're just putting them in the trash or you're putting them in. So what we'll do is we will collect them into a Glad bag that's ziplocked that then we will throw them away. When we pull up in our driveway, we have a trash bin where we will throw them away. Is that the ultimate way to dispose of them? No. I can't think of a better way right now for us to quickly be able to do that. But I wanted to make sure your hands are not infected, because if your gloves infected, if you take these off improperly, guess what? You're going to infect yourself. I hope that helps. Now, those gloves were meticulously cleaned. I don't want to waste that pair. Now, there's been a lot of debate about something else, and I don't want to get political. I'm going to try not to get medical, but how could it be that wearing a mask would hurt anything? You got multiple groups stating you shouldn't wear a mask, and then you got groups, medical groups, saying you should. I wish I could get a hold of them. I can't get a hold of any masks. Now, the N95 masks that are needed for the medical community, I agree. They got to go there. But if you got painter's masks, construction masks, masks that aren't good enough for the front lines in an ER or in a hospital, and that's not the ones they want, but another mask, then we want to try it. My wife has some painter masks, and we're going to keep trying to clean them and get them to be reusable for us. But if we go outside, I'm going to start wearing a mask. I'm going to have my son, my wife wore one today. We're not taking any chances. A, we don't want to spit on someone or talk, and you should be more than 6 feet away for social distancing anyway. But take the precautions. Make sure you have the hand sanitizer. One client was just blown away when my son totally wiped down the keyboard, the table, the mouse with his alcohol swab, totally, then had the gloves, did all of the work, and he was just blown away. And he said, now when I go out, I will remove the gloves properly. I will use my hand sanitizer. And then, of course, left the hand sanitizer behind to help with the client. This is how we operate. This is our new normal now. And I don't see that changing. I am definitely going to keep this implemented. It's just safe, just so you don't get sick. How many times have one of us come down with the flu because maybe we touched a client's keyboard or mouse or been in their vicinity? You know, I see this as the new norm. I see IT technicians stocking up on gloves, masks, alcohol swabs, Clorox wipes, hand sanitizers. That's now part of our toolkit, and I think that's going to stay for a long time. Office 365 email with hosted exchange at SureWeb. All of a sudden, a couple days ago, one of my clients couldn't send email. Now, I talked about this last night on Tech Vets, and I did get a bunch of responses that I'm going to actually discuss next week. But we have a possible solution. I did a quick repair, no joy. Did a full repair, no joy. Completely uninstalled, no joy. He's the only user that can't send. Now, if he goes to the web and sends a message, it goes out. If he sends a message from his iPhone, it goes out, but not from Outlook. I even used the Microsoft Support and Recovery Assistant, and this was working with a second-level tech from SureWeb last night, and even uninstalling according to that utility, we had the same problem. I said, you got to escalate this. He escalated it. This morning, I heard from a third level tech that said he was able to duplicate the problem on their end, and they're moving their mail, and I think they're all their databases to another server, and I believe they're recreating his account. He says, I'm not going to have to change anything. It's not done yet, but it had to be something in the cloud at SureWeb because I've done everything humanly possible. Yes, I created a new profile. I started in safe mode. I started as an administrator. Just, it won't go. You put a message, you send a message, it's stuck in the outbox and it won't go. And the internet's working perfectly. The credentials are perfectly. The Windows credentials are perfect. The password is good. So to follow up, and I'll probably have more, maybe either Tech Vets or the Mike Tech Show, I will talk more. My main concern tonight was to put it out there for more things to try. But since last night, I got additional information from SureWeb. So hopefully we'll get this worked out because it's very frustrating for my client who is an attorney. Now, during this, so they could recreate the situation at SureWeb, they said send the client's email name, which I did, and they needed the password. And I said, how do you want me to securely send you the password? Well, a link for tonight is called PW Push. It's a password pusher. Now, be careful on its reliability. Since the client sent it to me, we're going to use this password. But when this is all solved, I will have my client will change the email password. But you enter the password to be shared, and you're given a private link that you can send to someone. They run that link, and they can get the password. It's just interesting for sharing a password. I've never seen a site like that. It's Password Pusher, pwpush.com. Thought I would share that. And this was sent for last week's show, but I didn't get a chance to talk about it. And he has several topics, including talking about the gloves. That was topic two, but I think we've covered that enough. So topic one. In response to your comments regarding the email of mine that you addressed on the show about my client with two rack mount Windows Server 2008 R2 and two extra servers, I like your idea of trying Windows 10 on one of the extra machines. And recall that in all options floating around during this time, I had at one time considered that and apparently forgot about it. I like that solution a lot, and like you, am reluctant to abandon usable equipment. We are not hosting the MS Office apps on those servers. Great. It's just for file sharing. Perfect. I will let you know how that goes. I neglected to mention that it is worth pointing out that Windows Server 2008 had a much larger file life cycle, yes, it did, than Windows Server 2019. In response, I am exploring Microsoft Azure and considering the likelihood of cloud computing in the future, since Microsoft is clearly devoting their resources to that. I agree, but while you have the hardware and you can have an extra machine just waiting in the wings if something happens? Why not leverage it? Topic three, regarding Kevin's email about his bookkeeper client and many company files in a multi-user environment. I'd like to chime in because I am a longtime user of QuickBooks Pro and QuickBooks Online and support clients using both of them. They are completely different programs, and I encourage a pretty steep learning. I encountered a pretty steep learning curve moving my own books from QuickBooks Pro to QuickBooks Online. Eventually, I aborted the effort to migrate my existing data and just started QuickBooks Online from scratch. I think the learning curve for the multi-person bookkeeping office and converting each company file to QuickBooks Online makes that not a good choice. And QuickBooks Online is very sluggish compared to the QuickBooks Pro, no matter how good your internet speed is. And I think it would slow down productivity. I like QuickBooks Online for my purposes because I can use it from multiple computers and multiple locations, and it's much better at syncing data from my banks and credit cards. It is definitely slower than QuickBooks Pro, but I'm not using it 8 hours a day or so, and that's okay. Well, that's actually where my client is. They only have two files, three users, and they opted for the cloud version of the full desktop. So that's, you know, kind of halfway. You know, yes, it's in the cloud, but it's the full desktop version, not online. Me, I moved right to online. I could care less because I am not sitting there using it. That's what my bookkeeper does. He's the master QuickBooks person. When he said, "Mike, I want to move us to online," I said, "Go right ahead. Move it online," because I don't use the program as much as he does in preparing all of my financial statements. He continues, "I think your advice to Kevin about using a peer server, even if it's Windows 10 Pro, instead of a real server, is ideal for the situation he described, but the files cannot be synced to any cloud." Well, actually, that's not correct, because remember, there's a syncing program that Jason Miller recommended last week. I do have an office using Microsoft Azure backup, which is cloud, but it's not a real-time sync. It is a scheduled backup. Magnusbox would work for cloud backup also. For working from home, I have some clients using LogMeIn and some using Instant House Call to access a computer in the office. I think Right Networks would be a good choice if Kevin's client needs staff from multiple bookkeeping offices accessing the same company files, but his email did not describe that. I've tried VPN and found them to be more troublesome than remote connection to a real computer, and I concur with you 100% on that statement. His last topic. A few months ago, I upgraded a CPA client to a new server, which was required by their accounting software. Multi-user QuickBooks crashed a lot on the new server. My Google searches revealed this to be a common, as of yet unsolved, problems with QuickBooks multi-user, some versions of Windows Server. I found one tech who reported he trained users in each department of a large firm to restart the QuickBooks database server manager when needed. When I have found a way to stop the problem, I did figure out a way to automate the repair. I created a batch file to stop and then start both of the QB services on the server. Then I created a scheduled task that launches that batch file with admin privileges with event 1026 occurs, which indicates the service crashed. It worked perfectly even when multiple users had the same company file open. The users never even saw a glitch. Thanks again for your show and your helpful responses. By the way, I use your Amazon link, and he's made a shortcut on his favorites bar, and which is great. And he also donates monthly to the Mike Tech Show, and I really, really, really appreciate that. Interesting, you mentioned about the QuickBooks service. Here's what I've done. When a service stops, you can go in to the settings, and you got three times it crashes, you can tell it to restart. When I did that on every server, every Pure workstation, all my problems went away. Anytime you have a QuickBooks service running, go into the details of that service, and there's an option what to do if it stops. And if it stops a second time, if it stops a third time, have it restart the service. This will save you a lot of pain and suffering. This is about IPv6. Hi, Mike. Hope you and your family are well during these troubling times. Thanks so much for your show. I'm sure it really helps a lot of people around the world. I'm in the UK, and my PlusNet doesn't support IPv6, but I have two Nest Protect smoke detectors that need IPv6 in order to have all their features enabled. I currently use my ISP's router, which is rebranded SageMon, and it's a C5001. My question is, could I buy a new router that would enable me to run IPv6 on my internet network while still working with my current ISP? I think so, but you got to clear that with your ISP. I know being with Verizon or Comcast, we can change out the modem at any time and change that to any router. I did that with a couple of my clients. As a matter of fact, some of them, I have my untangled device as the router going directly to the ISP. So just double check, or maybe install open source firmware on my existing router to enable IPv6. I would not mess with their router. I would go buy one of your own, swap it out, make sure that it'll work with your ISP, and then make sure IPv6 is supported. And it's interesting, it doesn't, because my Verizon router and a lot of Comcast routers that I've been deploying, they now all support IPv6. So I'm very surprised that your ISP doesn't, but I'm sure they would let you use your own router. If so, could you recommend a router and point me in the right direction about how to set it up? Now, that's going to be a little harder. There are so many routers, and I have so many questions. What bandwidth do you have? How many devices are on your home network? What applications are you using? What's your speed up and down? What security do you need for your router? It doesn't sound like you need something complicated, but I'd be afraid. I love the ASUS, RC series. They're great. They're excellent routers. Give you a lot of security and work real well, and they have a gig switch built in. So I'm not sure. I would need a lot more detail before I could point you in the right direction. But the first thing you need to do, does your ISP allow you to change it? Thanks for your email. This is from Dylan. Thanks for all your guidance and advice throughout the shows. I used the different utilities and advice in my work as I go along. I work in the K-12 education side as a tech for a school in Philadelphia. Currently, I am facing a problem on my personal workstation I have never encountered before. All my Windows-based apps will not open. Calculator, the Photos app, and anything with the Windows Store, including the Windows Store. I have done everything I can think of short of reinstalling. I even tried making a new user account to use. If that would solve it. I've tried countless things on the web, but none have worked. Wondering if you have come across this? Yes. And I dedicated a segment of a show a couple months ago. Or could suggest anything. I also had a question about the Amazon link. I have been using it. However, I use Amazon Smile and wasn't sure if that conflicted. I do not know anything about Amazon Smile. So I need info on Amazon Smile. I'm going to look it up after the show. Dylan, the links I have that will absolutely fix your app problem, I got to go to one of my past shows, pull those links up, and I will email them to you, and I will duplicate them in the show notes for tonight's show. So thanks for your question. I have the answer for that. There are fixes. This is from Jack. Apple install. From what I understand, the way to get the Windows drivers is to download Bootcamp from Apple website for the specific laptop model that you are working on. Just unzip the Bootcamp file and the drivers are there. Excellent. And I pass this along to my client who has that Apple that I put Windows 10 on. Thank you, because there are some drivers. Tonight, we weren't sure if the Thunderbolt port would work, and he has Thunderbolt to Ethernet. And he said, Mike, boy, I might need the driver for that. I said, just plug it in and give it a try. He plugged it in, it fired right up, and he was able to connect via Ethernet. So that was very cool. So we're very close. We just have the audio and the built-in Wi-Fi. And if I can download that Bootcamp, extract those drivers, and then apply it on his Windows system on the Apple, what a great answer. So I really appreciate that. Thank you. And then the last link for tonight from Lewis, here is a link that I followed to get Windows install on MacBook with Bootcamp. Now, remember, my user didn't want Bootcamp, but I think you can still learn a lot from this link. And if you still want to be able to boot Apple and Windows, Bootcamp is one way to go. If you don't want to run Windows in a virtual environment on the Mac. So this link I will also have in the show notes. Thank you, Lewis. During these tough times, I know I rely on Amazon. Maybe it's a week or two out, but I'm getting my products. I got my gloves. I got the alcohol swabs that just came in yesterday that I ordered 2 weeks ago. We are relying on Amazon to deliver our goods because we want to keep the social distancing. Why not use our Amazon link that Carrie Holzman and I share? Your use of that link. Then it takes you back to Amazon. All your prices are the same. When you add an item to your cart and check out, a small commission comes back and helps support the Tech Vets, Mike Tech Show. You want a Tech Vets every week? You want a Mike Tech Show every week? This is the best way you can support the show. Spread that link to everybody you know that buys from Amazon. It makes a difference for us. We appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you so much. Also, what great sponsors. Instant House Call, with the use of subaccounts that has saving businesses by workers being able to work from home remotely. Magnus Box, where you don't have to work. Great example. Last weekend, something happened to the local drive connected to the server of a CPA company. The drive got somehow turned off or disconnected, so Shadow Protect wasn't working every night. But Magnus Box was. And when the main one person reached out because they're copied on the email. They said, Mike, the Shadow Protect's breaking. I forwarded them the successful emails that I get every night from Magnus Box and said, hey, the online backup's working. We'll fix it. The next time someone's in, have them call me. And we did this yesterday, and I had them reset the backup drive. Just needed to be unplugged and plugged, reseated in the USB port. Boom, Shadow Protect's working. But we also had Magnus Box backing it up. That's what you need. Go to magnusbox.com. That's it. Hope to see you next week. God willing, Tech Vets Wednesday at 8 p.m. on YouTube. The Mike Tech Show next Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.